Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Song, it's one of our songs. Your love goes on and on, something like that. Found us out. Oh, thank you thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We are here because of your love. We are here because you shed your love on us. You have poured out your love. You gave yourself for us for the sake of love. Thank you for so great love, so great love, so great love, so great love, so great love. Oh, so great love. We bless your name. We bless you, Lord. Blessed be your name. As we go into your word this evening, we ask that you cause your word to come through us with great utterance, with great authority and power. Let there be transformation in this place this evening. Let there be clarity. I ask for utterance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. I want us to adjust to the front. Please adjust. Software, you are welcome, but can you move? Let's adjust. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Grace, what are you trying to do? What are you doing? Eh? Video. I mean, don't video anything, Joe. What are you videoing? I'm not even looking at some. I'm looking tired and stressed, and you are doing video. Which video are you doing? Amen. Hallelujah. You know the way my head is banging as I'm here. Eh? It's live video. You better be careful there. Hallelujah. Alright, I want to welcome everybody. Our pastors are not, Pastor Shee and Mommy went on a journey. Pastor Bello too is not around. We appreciate them in absentia. Mommy Bello, good evening, ma. You're welcome, ma. Pastor Dele is on his way, and by necessity, amen, by necessity I have to take this mic. If I have my way, I will not. Hallelujah. So tonight we are going to do the preaching together. Amen. We've started considering, or we are continuing with the theme. This is the theme for the year, the warfare of the kingdom. That's our running theme for this year. Last year, we had the autopsies, and a lot was said about the autopsies of the kingdom, and I mean, the warfare of the kingdom. And Pastor has been teaching us along that same line since last month. We started January, and you know, it has been wonderful. And so this evening, I will just add a little. I'll just add a little to it by way of continuing. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'll take the reading from verse 1. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 from verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth the man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And he had a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Amen. Says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. I want us to stop here for the sake of this situation. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now, we understand that the book of Revelation is a three-part book. The book of Revelation has three segments. The first segment talks about the things, the revelation that John had about the being that he saw. You know, he said, in the Lord, I was in the spirit on the last day, and I had behind me a voice out of a trumpet, and then being turned, then he began to describe the things, he saw, which was, you know, he saw someone that looked like the Lord walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and then he described those things. That was the first part of the book of Revelation. That's in Revelation chapter 1. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Let me just establish that. I'm trying to look for... Sorry. Okay, Revelation chapter 1 verse 19. See what the Lord told the joy. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. You see that? Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Are we together this evening? He said, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Meaning that there are three categories of things that John wrote about. The first category are the things which he has seen. The second category are the things which are. And the third category are the things which shall be hereafter. And like I said, the things which he has seen were his encounter with that being, you know, the description of that person, the church in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and all of that. Now, the second dimension of the revelation are the things which are the conditions of the seven churches in Asia at that time. Hello? Are we together? The second category, the things which at the present then, the present conditions of those seven churches are the things which are. So in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, he began to describe, the Lord began to speak to him concerning the state of the churches. And he was required to write those things down. But from Revelation chapter 4, the revelation moved to another dimension. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show these things," which must be what? "I will show these things," which must be what? Take us back to Revelation chapter 1 verse 19. Revelation chapter 1 verse 19. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be" what? Hello, do you get that? So, from Revelation chapter 4, the revelation moves to the third category, which are the things that will be what? Hereafter. So, from Revelation chapter 4, the things God began to show John were actually revelation of things which shall be what? Hereafter. So, as at that time, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which are the hereafter, meaning that these things are not present. Like I told you, the things which are talking about the present condition of the church at that time. But the third category of the revelation talks about revelation of things that will come. In fact, take us to that Revelation chapter 1. Let's go back to okay, no, let me not say that. That would take my time. Now, the reason why I'm trying to say this is that what we saw in Revelation chapter 12, mind you, in Revelation chapter 12 that we read, the Bible talks about a war that happened in heaven. Now, some people say Revelation chapter 12 talks about the fall of Satan at the beginning. That's not correct, because the book of Revelation was not a description of things that have happened in the past. Hello? The things contained in the book of Revelation are not about things that happened in the past. No. They are actually, like we saw, three categories: the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which are hereafter. Okay, give us that Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. Let me go there. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must" what? Things which must what? Are we together? I want to hear you. Things which must what? Tony Omoli, I want to hear you. I want to hear Yoya talk to me. Yoya, what did he say? Hallelujah. He said, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." Meaning that they were not things that had come to pass. They were things which must shortly come to pass. Now, my issue is this. Whether between then and now, whether those things are shortly come to pass, but what it means is that as at the time that John was writing, those things have not what? Come to pass. Is that established? So you cannot say Revelation chapter 12 describe events of how Satan fell at the beginning. Revelation 12 is not a description of when God cast Satan down from heaven as a result of rebellion. No, it was actually a description of something that was to come in the nearest future. Are we together? Amen. So, in Revelation 12, we saw that, a man-child and all that. My emphasis tonight is not even about all of those things. I just want to share with us something that could be a blessing to us. And it's in line with the things we have been discussing in the believers class in the last few weeks. Take us back to Revelation chapter 12. I just said all that to establish to you that that's not talking about how Satan fell. It's actually something. Verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his what? And his what? And his what? He said there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Now, when the Bible says there was war in heaven, it's not talking about the heaven where God resides. Hello? Did you get what I said? When he says there was war in heaven, he's not talking about that. He's not saying Satan was in the dimension where God is. No. Now, take us to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened, who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the what? The air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of what? Now, let me read it. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, I'm trying to see how I can bring this understanding through. What they call the air is not the air we breathe. It's talking about a dimension of authority and power. Now, what they call heaven in Revelation chapter 12, that there was war in heaven, this air is what is actually called heaven. Hello? Amen. You know what? I don't have all the scriptures I need to really... You know, when I teach, I like to establish a lot of things, but I'm not prepared to do that tonight. So I will just push those things to you. I hope you understand them. And now, you remember in Revelation, Genesis chapter 1, when God began to create. You know the Bible calls something. He said he created a firmament. What did he call that firmament? Heaven. So when you hear the word heaven, it's not always talking about the heaven that is the dimension of God. The firmament is actually, that firmament is like an atmosphere. It's like, how do I put it? You know what we call this gaseous? You know, after this, there's a gaseous, there's a dimension in this earthly realm. There's a dimension that is called atmosphere. Now, in the spiritual dimension, there's also a similarity of that. It's called the air. Now, from this Ephesians chapter 2, you discover that this dimension is actually above men. It's a dimension that is there because whoever owns the authority of that dimension controls men. Look at it. It says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the what? The power of the air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So meaning that a spirit is holding custody of that dimension, and from there is able to manipulate men and control the affairs of their life. Now, this is not dimension of, give us Ephesians chapter 6. Let me see if I can help you with some of these scriptures to establish Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in what? In high places. Now, another version says against wicked spirit. Do we have any version that like that there? Give us Amplify. Let's see what Amplify says. Against the spirit forces of wickedness. Look at what I've said in the heavenly sphere. So, what I'm trying to show you is this, there is a dimension called the air. It's also called heaven. Hello? It's a spiritual dimension. But whoever has access or whoever is ruling from that dimension is at advantage over men. I'll tell you why, what is the essence of that war? Hello? I'll show you one of the reasons why that war had to take place. Take us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just follow me. Yes. Take it. Give us from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Yes? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God do what? Bring with him. What's the next verse? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Yes? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now, look at this. For the Lord himself shall descend from where? Where is the Lord presently now? Heaven. Now, the heaven is talking about here. It's not the heaven where there was war. Are you together? Are you listening to what I'm saying? He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That is the heaven. You know, the Lord is with the Father right now. He's sitting on the throne. So when he says he's descending from heaven, meaning that he's coming from the presence of the Father, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. Now, don't forget, the Lord is going to descend from where? From heaven. Next verse. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? To meet the Lord where? To meet the Lord where? Don't forget I told you that this air is what is also called, is a dimension of heaven, which that was where the warfare in Revelation 12 was supposed to what? Take place. Now, at the rapture, the air is actually the meeting point of the Lord with the things that are coming from heaven and those of us that are what? That are here. I don't know. Do you understand? Hello? Please open your mind. Let me not rush it. Look at this. He said, then we which are alive and remain. Take it back to verse 16 so that you can. I want you to understand something very well. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Like I said, that heaven where it's descending from is descending, meaning it's coming down. It's coming from before the Father. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is the trumpet we always link up to rapture. Do you understand that? And you know, we taught that we are teaching the redemption of the body right now. And one of the things we said that change is going to happen at the twinkle of an eye at the last trump. All right. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall do what? They will rise first. Yes? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen. Where the Lord is going to meet with descends from the earth. Are you getting me? Is being occupied by certain aliens. Hello? I don't know if you are listening to me. It's like you are going to have your wedding reception. You are going to have your wedding reception. And the place that you have booked for your wedding reception, some bad guys I have holding the place in custody. Can you have a reception? Sorry, I've forgotten that you are doing. Can you have a reception? So one of the purpose of the warfare in Revelation 12 was to clear that place. And that is why, are we together? Hope there's no problem. Okay. Are you following me? The air has been designated from what Paul is telling us here. That this same air is where the Lord is going. We that we are still alive, perhaps we are alive and we witness when this is going to take place. We that we are alive and the Lord with the saints that are coming from heaven are going to meet in this air. For Ephesians 2 now told us that, take us back to Ephesians 2. Take us back to Ephesians 2 and let's remind ourselves of verse 2. Look at what it says. It says that, oh yeah now. Oh. Okay, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the what? According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Of disobedience. Meaning that that air is not at this time under the authority and the influence of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you with me? This same air at the moment is being occupied not by God, not by the Spirit of God, not by the forces of righteousness and light, but there is a wicked prince that is holding this place in custody and is using that authority and influence to push men into destruction. But this same earth is where I've been designated that the Lord is going to meet with his saints. Amen. So if that is good, that is why sometimes you now know that what we call rapture is not just an accidental something. It's not something that the Lord, God will just wake up one morning and say, yeah, blow the trumpet. No, they won't blow that trumpet if the air is not cleared. Hello? I don't know if you are listening to me tonight. Hello? Because when it's time for the reception, we won't wait outside for them to clear the place. The place would have been cleared before we come. So that necessitates, so that's one of the reasons why the war of Revelation chapter 12 has to occur. He said there was war in heaven, or in another way, we can say there was war in the air. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and they fought. He said, but their place was no longer found in heaven. Amen. Their place was no longer found in heaven, so it was cast down to the earth. And then, now, those are other issues. But I'm just going to tell you the importance of that dimension. Amen. Let me tell you, one of the challenges we have, one of the reasons why we are not spiritual, is because of the air advantage that Satan has. Hello? Look at, give us Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Or before we go to Psalm 110, before we go to Psalm 110, that Revelation 12, where it says, now is come the kingdom of our God and something. Where is it? Is it Revelation 12? Just give me that one, that part that says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and what? And what? And what?
the power of his Christ. He said, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Listen, what this is implying is this, that as long as Satan still has the air advantage, God cannot even claim that his kingdom has truly come. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And I had a loud voice saying in heaven, now, that is as a result of the dislodgement of Satan and his host from the air, or from the heaven, now it comes salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of what? Of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and what? And night. Meaning that warfare is a very, very strategic warfare. I just want you to see the impact of that war, of that warfare. The power of our Christ, of his Christ, is come. Now, take us to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Verse 1. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy what? Thy footstool. Hello? Sit thou at my right hand until I do what? Until I do what? Don't forget. Let's try and interpret this scripture. In Isaiah 66, let's look at Isaiah. Sorry, you know, teaching requires a lot of Isaiah 66. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is what? The heaven is what? The earth is what? Back to Psalm 110 verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my what? Until I do what? What is this saying? What is this saying? What is this footstool? Is that heaven is my throne. The earth is what? My footstool. So if he say he want to make his enemy his footstool, what does that imply? Meaning that there is something about the enemies and the earth. Hello? What was the testimony of Revelation chapter 12? Take us back to Revelation chapter 12. Let's see what happened to the enemies. Revelation chapter 12 from that verse. Is it verse 9 or so? Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Yes. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Yes. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived his own world. It was done what? It was done what? It was cast out into what? The earth, and its angels were cast out, what? With him. Listen, when he was saying, sit thou at my right hand, until I make the enemies the footstool, what he was saying is this. Right now, your enemies have an advantage because they are not earthly. Hello? They are not what? Satan is not earthly. But God is saying that a time is coming that I'm going to make him earthly. I will cast him and his angels to the earth. He said, sit out at my right. So, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the old world. He was cast out into what? Into the earth. So he has lost his air advantage So it's no longer the prince of the power of the air. So right now, it does not have right to push. And let me tell you, in the days that these things will be fulfilled, you see many more people get born again. Take us back to Psalm 110. Take us back to Psalm 110. Take us back to Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy what? Meaning that until I cast your enemy to the earth. So verse 2, what did verse 2 now say? The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Verse 3, look at what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in what? In what? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What happened when the dragon was cast down to the earth? He said, now is come the power of his what? His cry. Thy people shall be willing. Now, look at it. His people shall be willing. So, why are his people not willing? Now. Amen. It's because the enemy has an advantage. That's what I was trying to say. That the reason why we are not responding to God as much as we are is because of the problem of the air. Amen. Is because of the problem of the air, because there is a prince of the power of the air. He says, at that time, we walk according to the course of this world. The prince of the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Meaning that every disobedience is being orchestrated from the air. Hello? Every disobedience is what? Is being orchestrated from the air. Because that is where the spirit, the prince of the power there, is working in the children of disobedience, preparing them to push them onto final destruction. So that people shall be willing, meaning that in the day of your power, which Revelation told us that now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Because the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Hallelujah. So, meaning that even in the day of the fulfillment of this scripture, you will see that even Christians will mature more rapidly. You are going to see rapid development. You are going to see rapid, you see people grow, as in, it's not going to be all this struggle and all this and all that, but when God takes the air, when Satan is cast to the earth and, you know, with his angels and all that, and the air becomes free, you are going to see rapid progress in the work of salvation. Amen. It's a major warfare that we have to take place. I believe that that war has not taken place. Amen. I believe that what? Now, do you know that? Look at that verse. Psalm 110 verse 1. Look at that verse 1. Look at that verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at what? Sit thou at my what? At my right hand. Until what? Meaning that he's not supposed to remain at the right hand. Hello? He's not supposed to what? If he says, sit down at my right hand until. Meaning that he's not supposed to be forever at the right hand. There is another appointment. He has another assignment to do apart from the right hand. But something is keeping him from the right hand. Hello? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Something is keeping him there. And what is the timeline? The timeline is this. Until I make thy enemies thy what? I'm telling you, the thought of Satan is to keep him locked over there. The Lord is not going to descend if the air is not cleared. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He said the Lord will do what? Will descend. But the Lord is not going to descend. Where if the place where is to descend to has not been what? Let me tell you something. The same way it happened before he came, is the same way that will happen. He has to send, what's his name? John. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare what? The way of the Lord. The way of the Lord must also be prepared. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Why did the Lord not just come? Why did they have to send John to prepare his way? They had to send John to prepare his way and make the hearts of the people ready. Amen. So in the same way, if the Lord is going to descend and he's going to come and get his people, some things must go beforehand. Amen. Let's look at let's go back to that Thessalonians. Okay, before I go to Thessalonians, let me show you something that 1 Corinthians 15. Perhaps I may be able to further establish what I'm trying to show us. First Corinthians chapter 15 verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under what? Under his feet. Now you have seen, this was actually Paul was quoting from Psalm 110. Therefore, he must reign till he has put all enemies under what? Under his feet. Till he has put all enemies under his feet. And that is the agenda, that is the work of God. That is the agenda, that is where all of these things is pushing to. Let me tell you one thing. One desire in the heart of the Lord is to be united with his people. Amen. One desire of the Lord is to be united with his people. You see it there. Let's go to that Thessalonians that I was saying the other time. First Thessalonians. Is it First Thessalonians? Let me quickly confirm it. Sorry. I'm not. Okay. So, 2 Thessalonians, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the what? By the what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by what? Our gathering together unto him. I said that one of the, Pastor D, you are welcome, sir. That one of the desire of the Lord is to be united with his people. He said, there is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and there is our gathering together to you. So there is supposed to be a meeting point. There's supposed to be the Lord wants to be united with his people. The Lord wants to be united with his body. But for as long as he's at the right hand, that is not taking place. Because that is not his final place. That's not where he's supposed to be. He says, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. For as long as the enemy still has advantage and annoyed his footstool, the Lord is not going, this is not going to come to pass. Our gathering together to meet with him is not going to be a reality. The Lord has to leave the right hand. And that will only happen until his enemies have made his footstool. Until we see the fullness of that, until we see the fullness of what happened in that revelation, we won't see the... Let me tell you something. The book of Revelation is a special book. I'll tell you why I said it is special. That revelation was not given to any man. It was given to the Lord. I don't know why it has to be. Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. It says the revelation of what? The revelation of what? Which God gave. Now, let me correct an impression. Now, we said the revelation of Jesus Christ means that the unveiling of Jesus Christ. No. I think I disagree with that position. The book of Revelation is not an unveiling of who Christ is. That's not what that line means. When it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that the things that are contained in that book is an unveiling of his person. When you look at prophetic books, check their introduction. There are different vehicles of God making things known to his people. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. I will try and explain what I mean by that. Isaiah chapter 1. What's the first line? Isaiah chapter 1:1. The what? The what? Does it mean that it was Isaiah that was seen in the vision? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It says what? The vision of what? Meaning what Isaiah saw. I think I have about two. Let's look at Jeremiah. I don't know if Jeremiah is also like that. Jeremiah 1:1. The what? The what? The words of what? Were those words about Jeremiah? But the things Jeremiah what? Spoke. That's introduction of prophetic books. So when he says the revelation of what? When he said the revelation of what? Which God gave to him. He's not saying the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It means what was revealed. At least I've shown you two alone at the mouth of two or three witnesses. I think we should see how one more. Let's take the introduction to the prophet. Let's look at another prophet. Let's see, maybe we'll have something like that. Ezekiel is not like that. Let's look for another one. I know Daniel is... No, Jeremiah is not like that. Okay, Amos. Let's look at Amos. Let's see what Amos says. Hey, Amos 1:1. Okay. Let's look at Amos 1:1. Let's look at Amos 1:1. He says the what? The words of what? Amos. It's not a mistake that they put those introduction there. The word, now, you saw that there are different prophetic vehicles. When I mean vehicle, I mean, now, Ezekiel was a prophet of visions. Eh? Ezekiel was what? A prophet of visions. Isaiah, what that means is that most of the things that Ezekiel put down were actually what? Visions. The same thing with Isaiah, it was more of visions. But when you look at Jeremiah, I don't think Jeremiah was really not a... You would just say, he got to the potter's house and the word of the Lord came to me. Do you get... That was his own... That was how he... Now, if you... Someone like Rejoiner, what is Rejoiner's prophetic vehicle? It's more of dreams. Sir? Dreams, visions, and writings. All of those, the final quest, the call, they are the experiences that came out through dreams. So if we want to introduce Rejoiner, what are we going to say? We say the vision of Rejoiner. It doesn't mean that what we are seeing in the vision is Rejoiner. But the things Rejoiner what? Saw. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is not an unveiling of Jesus Christ. What is meant, and the next statement even clarify that. He said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show it. Hello? I don't know at what level they gave that to him. I don't know whether it was while he was on earth or whether it was what he got to heaven. But the book of Revelation is actually a book that they didn't allow any other earthly prophet or any other person. It was not given. Hello? It was not given to any other prophet or anybody. It was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an unveiling that God gave to Jesus Christ to show unto his servants. Amen. Of course, he didn't say it. It was not, how do I put it? That's what I used to say. This is my own opinion. This is my own opinion. You remember when Jesus sent out the 70, 2 by 2? And he came back rejoicing. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I saw what? Fell. This is my opinion. When Jesus said, I saw Satan fell, I don't think Jesus was saying something that was happening. Jesus was saying something that was to happen. It was not that when they went out that Satan fell. But Jesus saw into the spirit, he saw something that was going to... He said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Alright, I'm rounding up. Meaning that a time is going to come that there's going to be a generation of an apostolic people, do you understand, who by reason of their going forth, who by reason of their work, that reality is going to come to pass. That's the way I see that. That statement, I saw, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I don't think it was something. When a prophet says, I see something, does it mean that what is saying in reality now? In my most sense, prophetic experiences are actually, around timing. Around timing. So, perhaps, that may be one of the, so when he says that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, that could even be a part of it. But what I'm saying in essence is this, let's not interpret the book of Revelation as is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. No, it's not an unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is an unveiling God gave him about things that were to happen. God didn't give it to any other person. He gave it to the Lord. Meaning only the Lord saw it. Only he knew of it. Only he had access to it. Then God now gave him a right to show it to his servant. And it was signified. Amen. So the book of Revelation is a serious book. It's a serious book, and it's a book we should endear ourselves to. We should read it. In fact, I don't know if there's any other book they wrote in the scripture that by just reading it you are blessed. He said, blessed is he that readeth the words of the prophecy that are contained in this book. Just me reading those words. He said, blessed is he that readeth. So why not read it? Read it and get blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope you know what I wanted to talk about tonight? I wanted to talk about the blood of the Lamb. That was my plan. You know, he said he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So I wanted to just talk about the blood of the Lamb. But I'm sorry, I couldn't talk about the blood of the Lamb. The one we talked about too is good. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor Obi, what do I have to do? Don't forget what I told you. I said it during the retreat. I said sometimes one of the things God wants us to do is to what? Is to learn. Amen. So you know it. And one of the things that should do for us is that we should know. Listen, you need to know that there is a contention over your soul. Sometimes it's as if we don't know. You need to know there is a contention over our soul. Even came made a statement that it means, you know, sometimes in one of the conventions, he said our holiness is not without battle. You know what that means? Meaning that if you ever do a right thing, even if you are going to open your mouth to even preach to one person, a war has been won. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That we cannot take a step and advance into God without warfare. You can't. You cannot. You won't be able to sow any seed of obedience if there is no war. There is war. So our holiness, our righteousness, even your giving. That's why some of you have not been able to, they preach about do tithes, you have not been able to do it. Because there is warfare. So you need to know and come to terms with it that there is a warfare over my soul. That if I'm going to progress in righteousness and in the things of the Spirit, there is war. And that warfare must. But you are not the only one that is involved. That was why I wanted to talk about the blood of the Lamb to show us the instruments and some of the things that God has given to us to effectively war. Maybe some other time I have the privilege, I'll be able to do that. But I believe that we have been blessed tonight. Amen. Do we have questions? Amen. Do we have questions? Okay. Stephen, right? Do we have another mic? Do we have another mic? If there's another mic, come on. Okay. Is there another one? If there's no one, come. Oh yeah, come and take this one.
At that Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, yes, where God highly exalted Jesus. Chapter
10,
it says that, okay, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Which heaven were they talking about?
God has highly given which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, both of things in heaven and things in the earth. All dimensions, that's why I said, you know, there are two major in the beginning. God created what? Meaning that all realm of what? Creation submits to that name. Amen. The only exception is who? Is the Father. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. He said, let's look at the 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Where that's, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 15, 27. He said, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things. Do you understand that? Meaning the only person that is what? The Father. It's God. So when he says in heaven and on earth, he's saying that all dimensions of heaven you have. All dimensions of heaven you have, whatever, if there are 50 dimensions of heaven, all the dimensions, anywhere, whatever is called heaven. And when it comes to the earth, whatever is called earth. Meaning all forms of creation, anything that is created, bows to the name. Angels bow to the name. Demons bow to the name. Even men bow to the name. Everything, all sphere of creation. So the heaven there is, whether it is the heaven, the heavens where angels are, whether it is the air dimension where the prince of the power of the earth dwells, and all of that, the name of Jesus supersedes over them. Do you, is that clear? All right. Bro Phillips.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for the preaching, sir. I came to notice just tonight that Psalm 110, if you can help me open it, please. I'm nervous. The Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And there was also a place where you opened that says that the Lord will continue to reign till his enemies are under his feet. So the phrase until, then till, is it like what comes after he makes this one now? He says, sit down at my right hand until I make... Is it that after he makes his enemies the footstool with the guy? Sorry. will he leave his right hand, and then the other verse that says that the Lord will continue to reign till his enemies are under his feet. What happens after his enemies are under his feet? That till, what is that until?
A lot of things, you know what? I know a lot of things are going to happen. But one of the things I said to you is that the Lord wants to be with his body. Hello? I said what? What did I said the Lord wants to be what? He said, that is this First Thessalonians now. It talks about the coming of the Lord and what? Our gathering together unto him. There are many things that can take place or that will take place after when that has expired. But like I said, one of the things that that is going to take place is that the Lord is going to be with his people. And you know, one of the things I said tonight is this, that in 1 Thessalonians 4, it told us that the Lord is going to descend from heaven. Of course, one of the things that will happen after that time is that descent. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. He said the Lord is going to what? Descend. And his temporary stop when he descends is the air. That's what the scripture says. He said the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout and all that. And then those who are asleep will rise. Then we also will be saying, then we will meet with them in the air. And I said that in Ephesians chapter 2, that air is under the power and the influence of the prince of the power of the air. So that place must be cleared and must be prepared for the Lord to meet with his bride. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So of many things that will happen after that, one of the things I know is that the Lord is going to descend and the Lord wants to be united with his body. That one is very, very important. He said, the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. So, I don't know other things that will happen, many other things will happen, but one thing I know is that the Lord wants to be united
put his body.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. One of the things you said was sometimes some of these things come so that we can learn. And I didn't want to ask the question, but I just felt I should still ask the question. The question is, getting to know all this now, about particularly about the Lord will not come until the ear is being cleared, because that is the place where we will meet. Now, how are we instrumental in the realization of this goal? Like, what are things that we can do? Though you are towards the end, you mentioned something that there will be a rise of apostolic people that way. But I really want to understand how the position of the heart, or how we can be instrumental in the actualization of that goal of clearing the air so that the Lord can come. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. One of the things I want us to understand, I want us to know, I can't answer your question fully because I'm also a student. All these things is not just about what we are going to do. It's also about what God is doing. Did you hear what I said? See, we are not the first stakeholder in this matter. The first stakeholder is who? Is God. He's the first stakeholder. So, beyond what I'm going to do, of course, I'm going to do something, but I want you to also know that God is at work. God is doing something about his whole agenda and his whole counsel coming to fullness. Don't forget that in the book of Revelation, we saw that there are seven seals, and there are what? There are seven trumpets. Now, one of the major purposes of those trumpets is to, now, each release of a trumpet is like a release of a dimension of God's working. Hello? It's like what? A release of dimension of God's working to make things to begin to happen on the face of the earth. See, one of the things we are supposed to do is what we are doing tonight. Eh? What is it? Learning. Listening. That's one of the things we are supposed to do. Now, some of the things we are supposed to do are some of the things we have taught us about redemption of the body in the believer's class. Our keeping ourselves pure. He said that had this hope in him, purified himself, even as what? Even as he's pure. Keeping yourself pure, not allowing yourself to be defiled by the world, is also part of what you do as part of your own part of the deed. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Even praying, as touching those realities, I'm not just talking about, of course, praying, but I'm saying prayers that are, you know, directed towards those things, you know, like Jesus taught us to pray that we should pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom what? Thy kingdom come. Same thing like, Lord, we want to see your day. We want to see the day. We want to see the day of your power. We want the day of Christ to come. You know, when you begin to pray that way, what was Simeon doing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Even waiting, having an eager expectation to see those things come to pass is also a part of what we should do. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But, see, your obedience to the Spirit, hearing God, obeying God, doing the will of God, all of these things are pushing to see that this reality come to pass. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Satan doesn't want us to be interested in the things of God, because he knows that by doing that, he can save time. That's what he feels. That let me distract them, let them not be interested in God's things,
Let them be earthly. Amen. Let them be what? Let them be earthly. Listen, Satan will not be earthly for as long as you two are earthly. When we begin to take our place in the heavenlies, we begin to take his place here. Because that is his place. In fact, his final place is not even here. From here, he will go to lake. Because that's his final destination. But he doesn't even want to come to the earth. He doesn't want to become earthly. Satan doesn't want to be cast down to the earth. Hallelujah. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. But for as long as we two are earthly, did he not say, he said you will feed on dust. Is that not what, is that not what, you know, they said it, that old serpent. By Revelation said it was a dragon. But when it was a serpent, what did they tell him he will feed on? Dust. Meaning that he has fed so much on, so it was dust that made a serpent. He had enough food to eat. Hallelujah. By the time the people of God begin to become more spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our own ascension is his dissension. So if we don't ascend, that is why Satan was not cast out until the man child was caught up to the throne of God. When they took their place on the throne, Satan had to come down. Hello, do you understand this thing? So there's a lot that is our own part. Our all these things we are doing is part of what we need. And those are the things we are doing. Amen. Last question, please. Any other question? I thought I saw someone's hand. KG, did you raise your hand? Is there another question? Any other question? All right.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.